course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm not doing too shabby. Just, living the American dream, I guess. I had to mow my yard yesterday, which is a very American thing, I guess. Just went out there, mowed the yard. Allergies are killing me, though, man. It's kicking up all kinds of dust right now. It's like that tail end of summer is just kicking my ass.
That's right. Mowing the yard and allergies. That's the American dream.
That's right.
For those that can afford it. And
right.
apologies to those that can't because of varying circumstances. I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, today we are reviewing the movie Vicious, which is out in Paramount Plus. But we got a lot to talk about before we get to that review. And let's start with Ike. What did you watch this week besides Vicious?
Well, I've been on a pretty big DC kick, so I've been watching a lot of DC animated movies. But horror wise, I did rewatch all of the VHS movies. I also watched there is a spinoff of the first VHS film called Siren. Which is one of the segments is about a flying creature who lures men in type deal. And then I also watched the other spinoff, which is, I think it's Kids versus Aliens. Obviously, we already watched Halloween, VHS Halloween. So I didn't rewatch that one since I watched it so recently. I wasn't feeling it. But I watched all the other ones, and it really reminded me, all of them are good. There's none of them that I would say are bad. But some of them are certainly weaker than others, and definitely on a rewatch, because we talked about this a little bit when we reviewed the movie, so I won't get too crazy with it, but it definitely makes me remember this one wasn't that great, or this one was just kind of meh,
Yeah, I think it's what we said. You can tell they're getting better and better and better and better every time they do it.
Yeah.
They're perfecting their craft, and but that's cool. That's cool to watch if you watch that progression. To see that. And I haven't watched the VHS, rewatched the other VHS in a while. So that might be it for me. Let's see. I finished my Halloween series franchise rewatch and finished the Friday the 13th, which I think I may have said last episode. And I have begun my Nightmare on Elm Street rewatch. And I think I'm up to, what am I up to? I think I'm almost done with Dream Master.
Nice.
So, yeah, which, excuse me, Siri apparently is looking up Dream Master for me, if anybody heard that. I don't dislike Dream Master, but it's coming out of the after Dream Warriors, which I love. So it's like, there's that, but it's not a bad movie. But then it's like almost like after Dream Warriors, it's almost like, oh, just get me to New Nightmare. Because I think that's the next one that I really super get into, but they're all fun. Freddy, he perfects that wisecracking badass, bad guy thing, as it goes along. So I don't think there's a bad one. They're for what they are. So, well, all right then, let's I guess that's that. And let's again hit us up on social media. Let us know what you're watching. Right, we're knee deep in Halloween. We're halfway through October. So let us know what all you're rewatching or watching. And, we like to open up discussions. A lot of you do respond when we post movies that, oh, hey, you like this movie, or hey, you're glad this movie's getting a little recognition, or whatnot. So we love that kind of stuff. So let us know what you're watching as we venture through the month of October and the march towards Halloween. But for now, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have all of our fun horror news, birthdays, anniversaries, all that good stuff. Always our longest segment of the show because we always get sidetracked and talk about all kinds of weird stuff. So I don't know. I'd be curious to see what people tune in to listen to. We do the reviews, but it's almost like the news is always the longest segment. So it's like and it has the most commentary by us almost. It's there's almost as much commentary as the review. And so I'm curious what people enjoy. Maybe we'll put that up as a poll question. I'm almost leery because it's like if nobody votes, my feelings might be hurt. No, I'm just kidding. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have the news, birthdays, and all that good crap. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right. So we just have one little piece of news this week, but it's always good news. Shudder has announced that not only will we be getting an upcoming second season of The Creep Tapes, but a third season will also come out in 2026. Last week, we actually talked a lot about Creep and Creep Tapes. Won't drag this out too much, but they're talking about potentially in the future doing a third movie. So it's always good to see that there's going to be more content, season two, season three, and maybe even beyond. We'll see what the Duplass brothers want to give us in terms of content. But, of course, we love Creep and we love Creep Tapes.
Yeah, and again, it's just I love it, right? Creep, we were out there pushing for this, saying it's people need to talk about this. And then all of a sudden they're doing the series. People are starting to talk about it. I'm not saying we had any impact because I don't think we did. But I will say that we were one of maybe the few, I think it's safe to say, who were out there praising the achievements of the Creep franchise prior to all this. And now people are catching up. That's cool. I love it. I'm glad they are. We did talk last episode about a third movie, which they see as the ending of the franchise, right? That's how they want to end it with the third movie. They want to bring it to a close. So that is not putting any limit on how many seasons of this Creep Tapes or what else they might do in the interim. We love, if you can go back, I think we reviewed the episodes of the Creep Tapes as we went along, as they came out in the first season. So I'm super psyched about that. The second season coming out, super excited. There's a third season. I mean, this is all old news for us. Not that there's a third season, but how much we love the Creep Tapes, how much we're looking forward to it. Keep it coming. I want to see that third movie, but on the same plane, I'll be a little unhappy because knowing if that might be the end of it. But then, my weird kind of autistic brain will also be happy that it gets a nice clean closure.
Right.
Yeah. So, such a good franchise. If nobody has dove into the two movies in the season that's out there so far, you should. Good stuff. Perfect time to watch it now. It's super fun. I will never stop singing the praises of the Creep franchise.
Absolutely. And I think that's all of us here at Listen to Their Screams. Even Kayla loves the creep stuff, so I
Now
mean
we can't
it's
speak for Monica. She's a
we
little
can't
weird.
speak for Monica. Yeah, she may not like you, but
But
I don't know.
I think she would. I think this is that I think this has the appeal of what she would like. I really do.
I do too. I think this is in her at least within reason to her wheelhouse. So I think that it's not outside of expectations for that. But in any case, we'll definitely be watching season two as soon as it comes out, and we will obviously, keep talking about Creep as soon as news comes up. So, all
Definitely.
right. Moving on to some upcoming birthdays. We've got three this week. two of these are fun. All of them are fun, but two of these are specifically fun. October 19, 1957 is the in-universe birthday of Michael Myers, or the canon birthday of Michael Myers.
That's right.
I think they missed a fantastic element that they could have made his birthday on Halloween. I feel like that'd be an amazing thing they could have done at some juncture. I don't know why, but just, it's called Halloween, put his birthday on Halloween. But no, October 19, 1957 is his birthday, which would mean that he is 57 minus 2024 is
He's old as dirt.
67.
Yeah, which they—I mean—they kind of reflected in the new trilogy, right? They kind of
Yeah.
showed a little of that age, and yeah, you would think, right? The obvious is, oh yeah, make you born on Halloween, but then his first killing was on Halloween. I don't know. Maybe they thought it was a little much to do. I don't know. I don't know. It is what it is. But again, there's only a few of these. In universe within the realm of canon birthdays that we talk about, it's for the icons, the big names. And I mean, how can you not mention, right? The in universe birthday of Michael Myers. Come on.
Absolutely. Cannot beat Michael Myers, quite literally, both in terms of his movies, but also in terms of you really can't kill the guy. I mean, depending on which
Right.
canon you're looking at, you damn near got a meat grinder, the motherfucker. Like, come on.
Right.
Been in here. Happy birthday, Mikey. Looking a little crispy, Mikey.
I knew you were gonna do that.
Had to. Had
Man,
to.
when I rewatched Resurrection or whatever, I was like, oh boy. I love the movie, I love the concept, but just a bit too much Busta Rhymes for me.
Listen, there's no such thing as too much bust around.
But in the Dave universe, LL Cool J trumps Busta Rhymes every time.
I could see that. I could see it. I like LL Cool J too. But okay. Moving on from Mikey. October 20th, 1882, Bela Lugosi, who of course played Dracula. He had a pretty, I would say, a relatively extensive career given that time for Hollywood.
Yeah, he did. He did other things, yeah.
But specifically, of course, for a horror podcast, Dracula's huge. I mean, this is the one of the first, Universal monsters, perhaps one of the most popular to be seen. And I mean, come on, it's Dracula. Vampires are one of the most long-lived, and will most likely be one of the most long-living tropes of horror. And it pretty much started with Dracula.
Yeah, and for anybody who listens to the show, has listened to the show for a long time, right? Has been with us maybe from the beginning or for quite a length of time. I'll say this every year. I say this every time Bela Lugosi. I don't care what you think about it. Is Bela Lugosi the best portrayal? Blah, 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 blah. I don't care. It is definitely the most impactful because everything in pop culture, when you look at all everything related to vampires, whether it be the generic little decorations, or whatever it might be, they always have the cape, the little medallion, the slick back hair with the widow's peak, the fang. That's all Bela Lugosi. All that visual was created with Bela Lugosi. So I love Bela Lugosi. I love the original Dracula. Don't get me wrong. I think it is a great portrayal. Love it. But it is truly iconic because it has established the baseline visual for a vampire. I mean Dracula has been an era. I mean, you can't even begin to document. I'm sure how somebody has, but all the name drops, the appearances of that appearance. I mean, it's been in every cartoon series virtually known to man, right? Where they've had a, it's just iconic. It's next level. People, I mean, there's back in the day, hung paper decorations on their wall that looked like Bela Lugosi. And you still see figurines, right? It's even if they're not trademarked, right, with Bella or with whatever, if you make just a generic figure decoration, whatever it may be, if you make another character as a vampire, they look like Bela Lugosi, right? You see it all the time. You go into a store, you see whatever, Bluey or whatever it might be as a vampire for Halloween, it's Bela Lugosi. It's the cape, the slick back hair, the fang. It's that look. So I you know what? Whether it's your thing or not, and it is my thing, I love it. It has this is next level, upper peak echelon pop culture stuff here. It has established the standard.
No, absolutely. He established a standard for vampires, and in a lot of ways, established a standard for monster movies.
Yeah, and I also think that being that standard, it makes things such as Lost Boys, or even I'm not a big Twilight person, but even things that are different, I think that's what makes them stand out, right? Because they do something different of this. This is what makes them unique, is that they are an antithesis to this. So they're laying that, this is like that baseline for everything that's come, whether they mimic it, whether they counter it, whatever it might be, whatever vampire related comes after this. This has impacted it one way or another, whether they are trying to mimic it or whether they're saying that we want to go in an opposite direction. Bela Lugosi's Dracula is in that creative process somehow. Every time, every single time.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, we should stop talking about Bela Lugosi and Dracula. We could talk about them all day. But yes, we will move on to our last birthday for this week, which is October 22nd, 1952. Jeff Goldblum, of course, known for his roles in The Fly, Jurassic Park, and many, many, many more. Jeff Goldblum has a very recognizable voice and style of acting, if you will. So definitely one of the greats. And, you know, love him in Jurassic Park. You know, his what is it he says? Life finds a way. You know. It's iconic.
It's funny. It's because, I mean, he was so great in The Fly, but that's not even what people, they don't even know. It's like, that's not the thing for him anymore. It's almost like at one point that was, no matter what he did, it's like, oh, he's the guy from The Fly, right? And I'm not saying that in a bad way, but now it's Jurassic Park, or it's like the apartments.com guy, right? When he's in those commercials. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just, you know, I love Jurassic Park. I love all those movies. We've talked about that. We've discussed Jurassic movies. But I do love The Fly. And it's no coincidence that Jeff Goldblum is in both. I love him. I think he, and I love him in everything, right? Every time he's been on Saturday Night Live or what, you know, he's got a great thing that it works for comedic timing and everything else. It's just, I really dig him. And he's iconic, right? And he's still out there having fun doing his thing. Still making Jurassic movies, right? He's been in a couple of the new ones. Like I said, in those commercials, which a lot of people might know him more for now, I guess. I don't know. But
yeah, it's weird how that happens, because I feel like big actors, typically, they always take a dive into, like, commercials and stuff. Like, I saw, like, Zoe Saldana is doing, mm-hmm. I think it's, like, T-Mobile or Sprint or shit like that. Samuel Jackson did Capital One.
One she did with Jeff Davis, right? With, like, was that a T-Mobile commercial? Have you seen that one with Zoe Saldana where it's like the dude's living with her? I think that was a T-Mobile thing. Yeah, because it was something to do with a phone.
Yeah.
So it must have been T-Mobile.
Because he asks her, like, can you teach me how to be, like, a T-Mobile spokesman? And she's like, well, you can't really teach it, but, and then she, like, jumps under her spiel or whatever.
Yeah. It's funny. But, yeah. It's in this day and age of short videos, clickbait, whatever you want to call it, you know, short clips. You know, these ads are almost as recognizable as everything else. But again, I think Jeff Goldblum probably, I guess in my mind, in my gut, I think most people recognize him from Jurassic Park and that franchise. You know, the broken leg laid out with the shirt wide open, Jeff Goldblum. A lot of people visualize that, but
for one reason or another.
Hey, you could do a lot worse than be known for Jurassic Park.
That's true. That's true. But, all right. Happy birthday, Jeff. We're going to jump into some movie anniversaries. We got a ton of these, so
let's buzz through these.
Yeah. October 16th, 1992, Candyman. You say it five times, he appears in the mirror, and he guts you like a fish. Love it. Love Candyman. Love Tony Todd. Rest in peace, man.
Yep. Can't say any. I mean, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. Even more resonates even more with the passing of Tony Todd. Such a great movie.
Absolutely. But October 16th, 1998, Bride of Chucky. Perhaps the last okay-ish Chucky movie outside of, like, some of the weird, obscure stuff. This is where shit starts getting funky. Shit starts getting nuts in it. Jennifer Tilly's great, though.
Absolutely. Again, we've talked about Chucky so much. I like Bride of Chucky. It's fun. It's a fun movie, and Jennifer Tilly being in it, it's great. It's like the I don't know if the last, but it's one of the big moves of the franchise, bringing her in. It's iconic. So,
It is. Very good. October 17, 1997. I Know What You Did Last Summer. I Know What You Did Last Summer, of course, being a huge leap off of Scream and similar meta slasher. It's a fantastic film. It has an all-star cast, and it's still alive today. We just had a remake of it not even a couple months ago.
yeah, and again, one of those movies that we've talked about that deserves a little recognition, and here it is, relevant again, and rightfully so. It deserves it.
Absolutely. Very good. Jumping now to October 18th, 1985. Reanimator.
Oof.
Reanimator is great. This is one of those movies that was on my list to watch because Dave said, "Hey, gotta watch Reanimator," and it's great. Love that movie. Yeah, I mean, what else can you say? It's fantastic.
Yeah, there are a couple movies, two movies on this list that I could talk about nonstop, and this being one of them. So I won't. I will keep it contained. Anybody who has listened to anything that we've done, I mean, you probably know. I love Reanimator. Such a great movie. If you've not watched it, dude, go watch it. It's great. It is amazing. I love it. I'll just leave it at that.
Amen. Moving on to October 18th of 2024, Smile 2. Wow. I have not rewatched this in a while, but I think it'll be on my list this month to rewatch both of them. But Smile is such a great movie. We loved it. Smile 2, honestly, to me, was better than the first movie. Just it leaps and bounds. It just really knocked it out of the park. It just, I don't know, something about the movie just really struck me right. But it was such a fun time.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, we did a review of this, and did we review both Smile movies? Maybe I can't remember, but I know we did
I
Smile too.
think so. I think so.
I think so too. And I believe that's what we said, right? It's we love Smile, but I think Smile 2 is even a little better. But the both great movies. If you haven't seen them, or even if you have, yeah, this is a perfect time of year to give them a rewatch.
Absolutely. Perfect time of year. But October 18th, 2002, we have The Ring. Oh man, The Ring is great. There is a bunch of sequels, even more modern. No, wait, that's The Grudge. I get those two confused
They
so
are
often.
very, yeah. I do feel like those are very intertwined. They were out, seems like the same time. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I confuse those a lot too. Yeah, I haven't seen The Ring in forever, but I
It's
did
been
like
a
it.
hot minute. It, actually, I
Yeah.
saw an advertiser for it because. It must be for like the anniversary or something, but I think they're going back in the theaters, the Ring
Wow.
1 and 2.
Yeah, lots of us doing that, and yeah, based on Japanese horror, very it's good. I don't I near not nearly as familiar with the sequels as I am the original, but the first one's great.
Yeah, absolutely. The first one's great. Sequel's all right. It has its highlights, but it's all right. But very good. Moving now to October 19th, 2007, a movie that I do wish that they would remake, 30 Days of Night. Wow. Vampires that are of a little bit different caliber than the typical vampire, and you're in Alaska at night for 30 days.
It's such a clever concept. I always get surprised by this, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but that it took them to 2007 for someone to think of this idea. It's so clever. But it, I mean, whatever you, it spawned all kinds of stuff, right? Comics and everything else. But yeah, it's again, it's one of those that's just kind of very good, sitting out there, nothing being done with it. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I think it's one of those IPs that like it has weird rights, if I remember correctly, because I think I looked at it one time, and they were talking about making a TV show at one point for it. But it kind of got put on the back burner during COVID.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I could be thinking of a different, IP. But I think it's one of those ones where they had plans for it, but just never panned out. So we'll see. We'll see.
That's
Something could happen.
that. I mean, that's in a nutshell, that's horror.
It really is. You're not wrong. But all right, moving now to October 19th of 2018, we have Halloween the remake. or requel, or however you want to say it. Yeah, this is a great movie. I mean, this is a stellar showing for the Halloween series. Really, it revitalized the series in a big way. The last movie I think prior to this one was would have been Rob Zombie's stuff, and it didn't quite turn out the way I think he wanted to turn out in terms of popularity. So this was a good step in the right direction for sure.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. It's the new trilogy's kind of funny, right? The third movie is decisive. Divisive, what do you want to say? But the other two, I think, are pretty generally held in pretty high regards, and I like it. I mean, they're great movies.
Absolutely. Very, very good movies. And speaking of Halloween, October 21st, 1988, we have Halloween IV, The Return of Michael Myers. This is a pretty good one. As far as sequels go, especially when you start getting above like a trilogy, you start getting into the 4 and 5 range, you start getting into some real funky shit. And oftentimes, it's not always good. You know what I mean? But this one was decent. I think this was a good return to form for Michael Myers specifically, especially since this was not the original direction that Halloween was supposed to take. So Halloween 4, Return of Michael Myers, solid thumbs up. We get to meet Jamie Lloyd. It's a good time.
Yeah, and I recently rewatched all these, and I'm telling you, every rewatch, every time you watch, I don't know, I appreciate them even more. That I think that, you know what, they're not as bad in hindsight as what people might have thought at one time. Yeah, it's a fun movie, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then last but not least, October 22nd, 1982, another Halloween, but this one is the third. It is Season of the Witch. So weirdly enough, small tangent that I kind of forgot to say. On Sunday, I went to a haunted museum, okay, here in Pensacola, and it's called the Museum of Shadows. Now,
you went there?
We went there. I completely buried the lead on this. I completely fucking forgot.
Oh.
So we need to go, but when we go, we either need to do like an actual ghost hunt, or we need to, because you can rent equipment from them. Like you can rent like EMF meters and stuff like that. Anyways, they don't allow photography.
Hold
or
on.
Video.
First of all, I've been wanting to go here. Second of all, I'm hurt that I didn't go with you.
I completely forgot.
It's okay.
So,
it's okay. Yeah. So, I've been wanting to go there.
Well, so weirdly enough, on one of the walls, I'm not going to tell you anything else other than this one thing, because it's relevant to Season of the Witch, because I want you to be able to experience it in its pure form, so I'm not going to spoil it for you. But on one wall, they have some Ouija boards, and on one of the Ouija boards, it is a Season of the Witch Ouija board that somebody sent them that was cursed. I did not know they made that. It's literally, it says Silver Shamrock at the top and has the masks. I did not know that they made that. Like, that's crazy to me. But yes, but I went there, and
for those who don't know, right, or not in the area or whatever, this is supposedly, they claim at least, the largest collection of haunted items, I guess, in the U.S. I'm not sure what they're claiming.
Yes, because there's one here and one in Nebraska too.
Right, and it's been featured on several channels, several travel channel, those kind of shows, and channels. Very cool stuff, right? Like, it's supposed to be. Again, I don't. I know. I get it, right? How do you prove that, right? How do you? I get it, folks. I get it. But you know what? Weird shit happens, and we're whatever. So yeah, very, very cool. I'm all about a Halloween 3 tie-in anywhere. Swinging back to Season of the Witch, this is the other movie that I talked about earlier that I could talk about. I could talk about this all day. I'd never tire. I love this movie. One of my favorites. So damn good. I'm so glad it gets appreciation. I'm so glad there's things being done. Right, there's a book out there that I think you and I got some review copies of a year or two ago, about the movie, about this movie. Right, there's lots of stuff happening now, Or at least more stuff than ever before, right? The masks are out there more readily available. I'm so glad of that because I don't know who said it. I can't remember. Again, I could ramble forever. But somebody said that if this movie didn't have Halloween tied to it, and it was just the season of the witch, this probably would have been a big success. But
Yes.
people thought this is a Halloween movie. They want to see Michael Myers. There was no Michael Myers. That was the backlash in the day. In retrospect, I don't think people care about that part anymore. They
No.
understood that Halloween was trying to do something different. Whatever, I think they can appreciate it for what it is. I love this movie so much. No lie, if I was going to get a Halloween tattoo, it would be tied to the season of the witch somehow. I love, there's all that talk. It's come back out recently about the new trilogy was supposed to end with, like a Silver Shamrock. Factory producing these three masks and the Michael Myers mask. All this gets, I love it. I could talk all day about this movie. So good. And I'm glad it's finally starting to kind of get its flowers for how good it is. I love it. Can't get enough of it.
Absolutely. But anyway, we got on a little tangent because I started been talking about the freaking thing of Shadow Museum of Shadows. Man, before I move on from that, I like you said, I don't know what everybody believes. Like I don't know. I'm not gonna get into philosophy and like theology. I'm not like a Christian, guys. Like I'm just gonna be real with you. But I do believe that there are demons and stuff like that. Like I watch ghost shows. And at this place, there is a specific room that is for objects that are supposedly demonically possessed. Again,
Dude.
no spoilers, but I believe it, man. That shit was weird. But we have to go because I want to go back because
Dude, we have to
we were.
go. We have to do some pictures and videos or whatever we can related to this for the social media. I'm so jealous because this is been something I've been wanting to go to. Haven't yet. Oh.
Without saying names, we went with some people from my wife's side of the family, and they not a lot of them. There's some of them left early, so we weren't able to stay super long. But I wanted to stay longer, but it's just, I didn't want to keep people waiting. So I do want to go back because there's stuff I want to like look into more. Like I said, you can rent like equipment, you can rent like black lights because no joke, some of the objects have like blood and stuff on them from things that may
Dude,
have happened. Yeah. Crazy, right?
do they have rules about videoing?
So yeah, so when you first go in, they
I guess so.
literally make you sign like a waiver, but they also tell you that like you cannot video or audio record or anything like that.
Okay, so what we will say to the listeners then is that at some point, most definitely, Ike and I will go to this. We will take some pictures outside. We'll, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Well, and there will be some form of a video afterwards where we will talk about our experience. Since we can't
Yeah.
video with or take pictures within, we will talk about our experience. This will be a kind of a video exclusive YouTube type thing. I don't know. Maybe who knows what we'll do? Maybe we'll put the audio out. Who knows? But there will be something related to this. This is so cool. If anybody else out there is in the Pensacola area, let us know. Let us know your experience with this, or if you have something similar in your area, let us know your experience with these kind of things. Because
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by this. I cannot wait to see this. This oh, super psyched! So much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And fun fact, Monica, Dave's wife, she and obviously I don't want to say this in the way it's going to sound, but she has made the claim that she is sensitive to some of this stuff. So I'm very curious
Yes.
how she will like think of it because I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah. And I will say, I don't, I totally believe in this. Right? I
Right.
totally believe in things. I will say we have been places where this, I don't know how to phrase it, right? That presences would have been there. Should have been
Yeah.
there. Without doubt. I'm not going to go into specifics because I just won't. It's a dark part of this country's history. I'll leave it at that.
Yes.
But we have been there, so there should have been. And I will say, she freaked the fuck out and to the point of I thought we were going to have to find different accommodations. And and it's not, the only time, the first time, whatever. So some people are sensitive to this stuff. Some people are not. She doesn't, it's not one of those things she experiences often. I think it's more when it's like kind of super strong, overbearing. And I'll be curious to see what she experiences. And again, maybe that story we'll sit down with Monica sometime and we'll have her tell that story, because it was intense. It was very, very intense. It was a vacation, supposed to be fun, relaxing. It was just her and I. And it was fun, don't get me wrong. Besides this one night, it turned out okay. But this one night was it was intense. And kind of had me freaking out a little bit. So So maybe sometime we'll talk to you about that.
Absolutely. I would say so. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Maybe not for her, but
Ah,
I can. But no,
well.
it's good content, man. But
Right,
yeah,
that's right.
that'll have to be another episode, because that'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun.
That's right.
But anyhow, moving on from that, because we could talk about that for hours.
That's right.
That is all of our anniversaries. So we have one upcoming release. This is a good one, of course. Black Phone 2 is coming to theaters on October 17th, and it is described as: Finn, now 17, struggles with life after his captivity. His sister begins receiving calls in her dreams from the Black Phone and seeing disturbing visions of three boys being stalked at a winter camp known as Alpine Lake. And we will be reviewing this movie next episode. So we both love Black Phone. We love Ethan Hawke. I went to Halloween Horror Nights, and there was the Grabber was there. He was taking him doing some photo ops, obviously to promote Black Phone 2. But it's fantastic. I mean, Black Phone 2 is probably one of the most anticipated films for us for a couple years now, ever since it was announced that there was going to be a sequel.
I will definitely say I have anticipated this movie so much. I love the first one. Cannot wait for this one. The trailer just makes me super psyched. The description, I think it's gonna be super creative. And oddly enough, this is a movie that came up. I know I've mentioned this a time or two, right? But I am semi acquaintance friends with, the bass player for the band Black Flag, right? We text. And he's a horror fan as well, right? And he's a fan and likes what we do, all that good stuff, right? But he was talking about, and I brought up Black Phone, right? God, I can't wait. Black Phone 2's coming up. And he was all like, oh, I'm boycotting the franchise. So I was all like in my head, like, what the hell's, what's going on? What did Ethan Hawke do? You know what? I thought there were some nefarious things. And he was like, nah, I just kind of bored with the first movie, so I'm not going to watch any more of them. And I was like, dude, I was like, how are you bored with the first movie? And then we got on a tangent about Black Christmas or, Silent Night, Deadly Night, and blah, blah, blah. And which, by the way, his name is David Rodriguez, for those who don't know. And I'm so jealous of this motherfucker, because he went to multiple Walmarts and got the bloody exclusive Art the Clown Nika figure that's in Walmart. And I've not actually gone out and searched, but it's not available online. So I'm super jealous that he has one. But I don't understand his criticism of Black Phone. I just don't. I guess it's not for everybody. I'm super looking forward to this and can't wait to talk about next episode.
Yep, absolutely. So I think that pretty much does it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have our official review of Vicious.
Hey, Bruiser buddies. I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews,
news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod.
All right, and welcome back to Listen to Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing the movie Vicious, written and directed by Brian Bertino, starring Dakota Fanning, Rachel Blanchard, Emily Mitchell, and others. It's the majority of this is Dakota Fanning. It was released on October 10th on Paramount Plus. This is one of those movies that at one point in time was scheduled to be a theatrical release. Then they changed their mind and just put it onto streaming. And that's where I will begin my review. I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was fun, but I can kind of see maybe why they thought, maybe not a theatrical release, maybe a streaming, because I think that's the right call. I don't know that this movie was quite strong enough for a theatrical release. I thought it was a fun movie. It was a good movie. It had a little, you know, a little bit of that, you know, it was spooky, right? It had some of those little cringeworthy, I won't say gore, but a little kind of bloody-ish, whatever. There was a couple of parts, right, where you kind of cringe a little about what happens. It was spooky, right? It was an interesting concept. Nothing super original. But it was fun. But again, this is one of those movies that had it been a theatrical release, I think we would have talked about it. I don't know if this should have been in a theater. I think this should have gone straight to streaming. So I do think they made the right choice, because I think this movie has more impact being a new release on Paramount Plus than it would have been in the theater. I think this will draw, I think it'll probably draw more viewers, get more talk, get more buzz. Because again, it was an okay movie. It was, you know, I enjoyed it. But it was nothing that I will have to say that if I had been went to a theater and saw this, I probably would have been disappointed. That because I just don't feel it was quite strong enough for a theatrical release in this day and age, given the current entertainment landscape. So good call on that. But again, for a streaming exclusive new movie, I thought it was good. I thought this is the kind of movie you want. Coming out in October, straight to a streaming platform. It's fun enough. It's enjoyable enough. It's got a little jump scare, a little cringy, a little, you know, whatever. It's a little frightening. Dakota Fanning, man, she's great. She's great in everything she does. She's so talented. So no problems there. So this is, I mean, it's not the perfect movie, but it is the perfect October streaming release movie. It works so good for something to put out there and say, oh, it's Halloween time. We have Vicious coming out on Paramount Plus. It works. This is the kind of movie you want to put out there. So I know to their bottom line and whatnot, that may not resonate. But, again, I like the movie. I enjoyed the movie. I don't have any super qualms other than it's kind of a standard type horror movie of this nature, right? It's nothing new. It's, everything delivered fine, but it's not anything that you say, whoa, I've never seen that before. Or there was none of those moments. It was a fun enough movie to watch. I don't know that it has a lot of rewatch value with me. I'm not sure I would seek out. I can tell you, I don't think I would seek out to rewatch this. I'm not saying if the situation were right at some point in time, maybe I wouldn't rewatch it. But it's that one that I'm like, I want to watch something kind of scary. Let's go to Vicious. I'm not saying, I don't think that'll happen. I'm not going to give away any spoilers. There's not a lot to spoil about it. They gave the description of it. That pretty much sums it up pretty well. But again, it does have its creepy, eerie moments and whatnot. So, Ike, what did you think of Vicious?
Yeah, I do agree with the general sentiment that I think it was likely a good idea not to spend the money to get this distributed to, just in general, not to distribute it. Because that takes a lot of money. When you look at the bottom line of filmmaking, while making the film itself is expensive, it is also very expensive to distribute and showcase the film in theaters, just generally speaking. That's why we have so many films that now go to straight to streaming. That's why Shudder is so important. That's why Screambox is so important. A lot of these films don't have the budget that, Disney or Marvel or Fox or Paramount have to create a film, market it, distribute it, so on and so forth. So off of that tangent, I do think that it was a good idea that they put this on streaming. It wasn't anything groundbreaking. Like you mentioned, I do like Dakota Fanning. I kind of grew up with Dakota Fanning in a lot of ways. You know, a lot of the things that she made when she was a kid were movies and TV shows that I watched as a kid. You know, like I can remember her all the way back in Cat in the Hat, you know what I mean? Or Malcolm in the Middle. She played like a random extra in Malcolm in the Middle. You know, let's see, off the top of my head, you know, she was in like the Twilight movies and stuff like that. So, you know, seeing her in a film is always fun because obviously, you know, it's, hey, I know Dakota Fanning. I've been watching her since I was little. But so it's always great to see people continue to progress, especially since, you know, that generation of actors, you know, it's just interesting. It's an interesting dynamic that you have. But like you said, the movie didn't do anything extraordinary. You know, there's really no big reveal. You kind of get the gist of the movie from the summary. It wasn't a bad movie in any way. It's just one of those, I don't know if it would have been worth the money to go watch in a theater. You know, and that's not to say that it was a bad movie. It's just to say that it's not going to be the next Black Phone 2. You know, nobody's going to be seeking out Vicious or saying that this is a cult classic. This is one of those movies that we will watch and we will likely never think about again, until Dakota Fanning makes another movie and we'll be like, oh yeah, wasn't she in that movie, Vicious? And then, you know, we might talk about it. But rewatchability, there's not much to really talk about in that regard either. Some movies you can rewatch because you missed something. Really, there wasn't much to miss in this. This is just a pretty straightforward layout, very easy formula to follow. That's actually a good word for it. Kind of seemed a little formulaic, that some of these movies sometimes get produced to be. But I think the big takeaway though is that it is a good streaming movie, but not a good theatrical release movie.
Yeah, and I agree, right? And who knows, right? Maybe someday, 20 years from now, 70-year-old Dave will be saying, you know what was underappreciated back in the day? Vicious. People don't talk enough about Vicious. Who knows, right? Because we don't know what will be coming out then. No, I mean, I don't know. It's I don't want to bash the movie because it's not like it's bad. It's just, I don't know. It's just there. It's just, I feel like we've seen these kind of movies before, and that's not a good thing or a bad thing per se. It's just, it's okay. Like I said, this is the kind of movie you'd almost expect to hit a streaming platform and get a release in October. So it's kind of that, again, that perfect movie for this kind of thing. So, you know, I don't know about the dollar intake, their bottom line, whatnot. Marketability wise, I think smart choice, pull the theatrical release. Release it on Paramount Plus within October. I think that is probably going to maximize the views and the eyes on this movie much more than it had they put it in a theater. I think it would have bombed in a theater. I really, really, really do. I don't think it would have done well. I don't think it would have any follow-up views or attendance, right? Once people saw it and talked about it, I don't think people are going to be like, oh, well, I got to go see that. So I think it would have, I really think it wouldn't have done well and then just would have fallen off even more after that opening weekend. So I think it was a wise choice to do it this route. So, you know, and man, these kind of movies are so tough to rate because
they
it's
are.
Like, yeah, because it's not like it's bad. But then I have to, you know, because my gauge is always how entertained was I by it? And on some accounts, yeah, I enjoyed it. On other accounts, I was kind of like, ho-hum, this is just, I don't know, this is nothing unique. But then on the other hand, it's like, oh, Dakota Fanning did a good job. She was, you know, great, you know, good performance on her part. But then it's like you think, oh, the material's not the greatest, though. So it's like, it's such a bouncing act. So I think I'm going to have to pull the cord. Man, I think I'm just going to have to... I don't know. I think I'm going to have to go and tick beyond below. I think I'm going to have to give this a 2.5. I don't even know that this is quite a 3 for me. It's an okay movie. Again, especially being a streaming, but if in the overall scheme, that's not the, we don't want to take that into account, right? You don't there's no curve based on theatrical or streaming per se when the enjoyability. And so I think it was just, I don't know. I think more often than not watching this movie, I was kind of a little ho-hum. Like you said, there's really just not any rewatchability to it for me. So I think I'm gonna, I think I'm gonna stick to my guns, give it a 2.5 out of 5. So, Ike, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I do have to agree, and I do want to emphasize we don't, like you said, whether there's not like a separate scale for like streaming versus theatrical. You know, there's not like bonus points if it's theatrical or anything like that. And in often cases, a lot of the horror movies specifically in this genre that are the best and perhaps the most well rated for us are films that either did not get a theatrical release or went straight to something like Screambox or Shudder. So it's definitely not a we're hating on it because, you know, it didn't get a release or whatever. It's just
No.
one of those, it just didn't quite live up to what we wanted to live up. And honestly, I think I have to agree. 2.5 out of 5 is a more than fair rating. Would I rewatch this? Maybe. Am I going to go out of my way to rewatch this? No. Did I hate the movie? No. Did I think it was the best movie ever? No.
That's what I'm saying. It's there. It's just so these movies are peculiar, and they're hard to rate and judge because they are what they are. No, and yeah, well, trust me, I have no bias for theatrical or streaming, right? I love VHS Halloween. There's been so many movies straight to streaming that I have loved. I don't have any bias whether they get a theater. Whatever. That's neither here nor there for me. I don't look at it with those kind of lenses. I try to look at it just as a purely a movie that they're all on the same level when I begin. And it's, it is what it is. Some movies have bigger budgets and can do more, and whatever. But I try to think we try to be fair on here, and and again, speaking of fair, right? Next episode we are reviewing The Black Phone 2, which is a movie that has a lot of hype. We're super excited about. We have a lot of big anticipation for. However, that's not going to swerve us or prejudge us because they have to deliver on that anticipation. So we will see what we think of The Black Phone 2. Do they hold up to what we thought the original, how good it was? Or will this deal with the sophomore slump here? Will it fall off? I don't know. The trailer looks good, but who knows? Maybe that's all the good stuff there is. But we will talk about that next episode. We'd like to give a thank you to our wives and then all of you listeners and followers for all of your support, interactions, follows, listens, etc., etc. Speaking of, make sure you subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much all the platforms. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the number 2 in Screams. Also, make sure you subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. Whatever you're listening to us on, whatever you prefer to listen to podcasts on, make sure you set us up to auto-download. That way, every Thursday, this thing just bam, it's there waiting for you when you want to listen. And if the option is there on that platform, make sure you give us a rating and a review because that helps us out when other people are out there listening to similar podcasts that we come up as a suggested listen for them. It helps us in that algorithm and helps us maybe get in front of some eyes and in the ears of some people who otherwise wouldn't know of us. So we appreciate your support in this whatever. We just appreciate your support. I guess that's what I want to say. So Ike, before we close out, we're halfway through October. We're getting there, getting close to Halloween. Is there anything you want to add as we close out this episode?
Oh man, same thing as always. Make sure you guys get out, support, you know, local spooky businesses, support your local haunts, watch horror movies in theaters, watch horror movies online. Just always support horror in any way, shape, or form as possible because the more support we get, the more spooky shit we get. And that's the
That's right.
bottom line. That's Ike 316. A little wrestling draft for you there.
Like Isaac said so.
I need a couple beers to say, so
Yeah.
smack them together.
Toss me a cold one.
Oh,
Yeah. So, and again, don't be very open-minded with your
yes.
spooky stuff because it's not just a movie thing, right? There, like we talked about earlier, there's attractions, there's haunts, there's events, there's things out there year round, right? There's just cool little sights to see or movie related sites. There's all kinds of stuff out there if you look for it, and it's all over. So, and if you are one of those people that are out there, visiting the stuff, looking for the stuff, out wherever you are, take some pictures, post them online, and tag us in them because I love seeing that stuff. I like seeing the local attractions, the local haunts, the local museums, the local sites, whatever it might be. I love hearing the folk tales, the local stories. So don't be afraid to tag us in that and let us hear because we like that stuff. We're very into that stuff. So, all right, then. We're going to close the door on Vicious and we're going to take the call next week from the Black Phone 2 and review that movie. But before, or excuse me, I guess until then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.